Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. We've got a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Jamie J. He's with the CEO at Bottleneck Virtual Assistants, and we're going to be talking a little bit about outsourcing solutions to improve your bottom line. I've got my coffee in hand. I'm ready to go. Let's get going. I'm excited about this. Jamie's a great guy. You'll really enjoy this conversation, this interview. And it is, you know, here at Industrial Talk, we're about education and we're talking about success, your business success, your career success, and be able to provide the resources that you need to achieve that. And one of the things in one of the conversations, which you can't ignore, is are there any outsourcing solutions available to improve my bottom line and get me focused on things that generate greater revenue, more opportunities, and get me out of the, you know, the mundane. And there are solutions out there that are painless, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But before we get going, I want to make sure you understand Infor EAM is a fantastic platform for Industry 4.0 and the digitization, which is a tough word, digitization of the industrial market. Now, Infor EAM is a very flexible, very scalable system. And that in this world where digitization, Industry 4.0, speeding, ripping, going, you know, I mean, geez, it's a fantastic time to be in industry. Let's just lay that out. You need a system that is also flexible, scalable, and everything that you want in a system, because it's not going to stop and it's going to continue to go. So that's Infor EAM. Go out to infor.com, find out more. Just, you know, say EAM and boom, you'll find that information, and all the links will be here on this podcast for the show notes. All right, let's get going. Jamie J. So I've always wrestled with the fact that, hey, do I like doing my accounting? No. Let's figure out a solution to get that off my plate. Are there other solutions that can be used and can be leveraged and be able to use some outsource solution? Absolutely. And then we're going to be talking about that in this particular podcast. And so let's get going. Stop with the yammering, Scott. Coffee's ready to go. You could tell I'm a little amped. So here's Jamie J. He's the CEO, Bottleneck Virtual Assistants. Enjoy. All right, you Industrial Talk podcast listeners, we are welcoming a gentleman by the name of Jamie J. Did I get that time? Jamie, did I get that?
Jamie J.
You know, that's a pretty doggone. Hey, you're a podcaster too, right?
Try to be.
Yeah, you're good. And he's with Bottleneck Virtual Assistants. And put that S on the back. That's assistants. And we're going to be talking a little bit about outsourcing. We're going to talk a little bit about the solutions that are available to industrial companies. And bottom line, we're going to talk about how you save money and improve that bottom line through solutions that are technology-based. Jamie, for the listeners out there, give us a little background into who you are. I've checked your stat card out there on LinkedIn. You got mad skills. Talk to us.
yeah, thanks. I've been, I'm a former corporate person for 12 years. I tried to figure out where the grass was greener and ended up, made a little run in radio there as account executive, but then went out on my own. And my first client out on my own was my former radio station. So that was kind of interesting. Employer. And then since 2006, I've kind of been doing that entrepreneurial thing.
Since 2006?
Since 2006, yes.
And you still have hair?
Well, it's kind of.
No, I don't even go there. I'm bald. You're not. You got hair. I don't. It's the reality of it. Now, what's interesting is that, and I've done a couple of interviews in the world of Industry 4.0, and that is really that's the changes that are taking place within industry, and it's rapid. It is growing. It's dynamic, and there are, you know, reasons why. But one of the interesting components that I find that we in industry do not take advantage of is what your company provides, the solutions that you provide. And listeners out there, we're going to go down, you know, we're going to do the 3 to 5 points that you need to make sure that you write down and get your paper and pencil out and all that good stuff. But right now, philosophically, why is, at least think about it, the outsourced solution, why is that an important conversation to have for industry?
Well, I think there's a lot of different contributing factors to this. And I think it might be important for people to understand why in the heck I got involved in this in the first place. If you go back to 2008, there was a bit of a housing crisis that we experienced here in the US, especially in the town I lived in. At that time, 1 in 3 homes were in foreclosure. At that time, I ran a real estate ad agency. Awesome.
Yeah, that's poor timing. Sorry about that.
So in the span of 3 months, we lost over 70 clients.
Yeah.
They were gone. And so ultimately, we were out of business. And so I figured, and by the way, we used a lot of, we did a lot of outsourcing using virtual assistants in that company. And that's where I started in 2006. So I've been sourcing virtual assistants from the Philippines for, you know, 13, almost 14 years. What I got out of that nightmare, it was devastating to me. Because I was irresponsible, didn't save all that kind of stuff, and found myself in a big challenge. Is the first two things to go when something like that happens is, number one, people stop advertising and marketing.
Yep.
For me, I double down.
Yep.
And the second thing to go is people reduce their staff, their overhead.
Yep.
And I wanted to find a way that I could help companies minimize their risk or mitigate their risk if something should ever happen, to make it as recession-proof as possible. Mm-hmm. And then when you're thriving, you're doing even better. It just adds more to the bottom line, more profit. Everything is great. But in those challenging times, how do I help these companies? How do we maintain that consistent livelihood, marketing, all of that support in challenging times? And that's the main reason that I got into this thing, is because you're able to scale as needed with unbelievably talent. You just imagine, because of these interwebs,
it
opened up a global pool of talent that you can source from.
But here's like a red flag for me. How do you ensure that, okay, so here's this outsource, and this is a question that happens all the time. How do I ensure that that resource across the globe is doing what I need, and I'm getting the best value, and I'm not getting, you know, railroaded in some way, shape, or form?
Absolutely love this question. This is one of the best questions. One of the things that I've learned since I began outsourcing is it has clarified my message internally, my systems and my processes. I almost think it's better that I experienced this outsourcing relationship than had people internally working with me, because it forced me to systemize my business. It forced me to establish the processes and or workflows, because you have to make sure that there's accountability for things that are done. And how do you account for somebody that's, you know, 15, you know, zillion miles away from you?
It is.
Well, because of technology in today, I can hop on right now. Where are you right now?
I'm in Louisiana.
I'm in Missouri.
That's
right. We're having a good conversation right now. We're able to talk. We're able to record. We're able to produce content. We're doing all kinds of cool stuff, even though we're way away from each other. Before this call, you sent me over a questionnaire, and it was kind of to get some topics down so that I understood what I was getting myself into. And it was super clear. When I came on this call today, I knew exactly what you wanted to have done. I knew what your objectives were, what your goals were, for this to be a really killer episode, and hopefully we live up to it. A lot of pressure I just put on myself.
All the pressure on you, not me. I'm ugly, and it's all about you anyway there, Jamie.
Now, if you and I were in the same room right now,
yeah,
we could sit there and say, okay, let's do this and this. And we could walk through that and you could just pop up some questions for me. And sure, maybe we have some paperwork or something that we're doing, but it's not the same. If I'm in the office and someone says, hey, Jamie, how do you do this? And I say, oh, you click there and click there. And they say, okay, thanks. And then I go about doing my work.
Wow.
There was no process established there.
Wow. That is spot on. And what's interesting to your point, and I want you listeners out there that you industrial, this is Zoom. We're using Zoom. And I've used Zoom not just to interview somebody from Missouri, but I've interviewed people that were around the world. And the same quality exists. I don't know how they do it. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that. But the reality is that we industrial professionals don't use, one, technology to its fullest, and especially Zoom, where you can pretty much have a global company and be able to have this conversation real time. And it's great. But I got some more. Continue. I'm sorry.
No.
You can tell I'm pretty passionate about the doggone
subject matter. Well, see, this is great because you go back to that. We have a vision, and we actually came up with a name for that vision. It's called Ripple Effect.
Yeah.
And what is our ripple effect on a local, regional, national, and global level?
Mm-hmm.
So how can we impact our local community? Well, you know, we sponsor events here. We go to, you know, runs, or we go to events and, you know, we help out local. We're building a local. How do we do it regionally? Well, we reach, you know, we maybe go up to St. Louis and we do some stuff up there, and we're doing a big event coming down here to Springfield. And there's the state level there, the regional level. And how do we do it nationally? We have clients all over the nation, right? That we're making impacts. How do we do it globally? Here's the cool thing. We have a global workforce. We have an office in the Philippines, about 2 hours south of Manila. And there's, you know, 153 virtual assistants, from everything from web developers to graphic designers to administrative assistants to email marketing, amazing marketing people, bookkeepers, and the head of the bookkeeping teams, a CPA. I mean, it goes on and on. And so what is really cool is we're providing a global impact to them. We're helping increase the local economy here by us spending our money.
Right.
But we're also helping them there. We're helping people live and provide for their families. And this is amazing. When you hear stories about, you know, one of our VAs, they bought their first car. They've never owned a car. But because we created something out of nothing, now they're able to drive around their six kids, mind you, in their brand new car. We have another virtual assistant that bought their first home. That wouldn't have been possible without us helping them out. It's amazing what you see. And then outside of that, outside of work, we have a VA who is an unbelievable violinist. She plays for the Manila Symphony, and she goes and teaches kids how to play violins. Now, I don't know about you, but hearing stories like that impacting people on a personal and professional level, that is amazing. What do we do here? Well, we impact local people, our clients. They're able to save on overhead so they can put more money into their company, grow their companies, increase their bottom line, hopefully get raises or pay themselves more if you're the owners or whatever that may be, and ultimately put that money back into helping other businesses grow. It's a cyclical process, and I just believe in this whole ripple effect thing. And that's what we run everything off of.
Okay, listeners, this is what we've got. Because of outsourcing, because of his efforts to outsource and understand how to do that effectively, you industrial companies out there, you've got a core business, right? You've got that core business, and then you got all these other ancillary activities. This is a great strategy for you to improve the bottom line, improve the quality of your work, and it's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's some work that has to be done, but you can recognize that you can focus in on your core and have all of this other stuff being performed more effectively and probably more cost effectively. But what you're going to have to do is, of course, you're going to have to look at your processes and workflows and document. So those are the couple of things that I heard in that particular conversation, but it's not all rosy. You must have some, once again, the big deal here, Jamie, is the fact that I have this business mindset, and now I'm going to give you a portion, and then we're going to outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you handhold that whole process and you continue to sort of improve. Is that
exactly?
Okay.
And for those of you that can see the video, this is my coffee cup and this is what I base my life on.
Yeah.
I'm still in beta.
Yeah, that's great.
And everybody has to understand that workflows and processes are living, breathing documents. However you bring that out, it's going to be changing. My goal is to help support industries, companies, people do what they need to do, accomplish their goals and objectives in a way that's more affordable, can leverage their time to complete the high level tasks, and outsource all the mundane details, all of the things that take up your time that don't give you energy, and that somebody else that can do the job 80% as good as you or better.
Yeah.
You're in a really good spot there. For me, let me give you an example here and take this what you will, because I mean, there's different industries, there's different jobs, but podcasting, I love doing this. But afterwards, I don't have time to do the editing and to do the writing and to publish it and do the marketing with all that. So I have a process in place that once I'm done with my podcast, I hand off the audio and the show note, the notes from that conversation and any images or links, and I hand that off to my team and they take care of the rest. I can go on going to Pittsburgh this week and speak at an event. And then there's other things, bookkeeping. I cannot stand bookkeeping, but I do want to know where I'm at and be able to, if I want to, check and see what the pulse is of my business. Where am I at? Am I profitable? Am I not? Did I increase this month over last month? And I can click on three mouse button clicks and I know exactly where I'm at, but I don't do any of the bookkeeping. So there's all kinds of different things that you can look at there, detail stuff that do not give you energy that you can outsource to somebody. And mind you, the person that's doing our books is a PhD. He's very, very educated. All of the assistants that we hire go through a vetting process, a background process. They're triple vetted. They even do DISC profiles to see what kind of personality that they have. And they're all college graduates or equivalents.
Wow. I like it. You're talking my talk there, Jamie. Is this better? Is this geared more? I mean, let's say I'm a small business. I see the value. Can it be scalable for a larger business?
That's the best part. That's the best part. And here's the thing. So the biggest barrier, I think, to people to getting into this is because it's outsourcing. And maybe it's going overseas. That may have a sour taste in certain people's. But a lot of the reason that people hesitate doing this is because they simply don't know what it is. They don't know what they don't know. They don't know what they can get. Yeah. And once they get to experience that, oh my gosh, here's the cool thing. How do you go about implementing anything in your business? A marketing campaign, data research, all of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff you got to think about there. So we make it a lot easier. I will say there's no process that's super easy. You know, it's simple, but we try to simplify those steps by taking people through a process and taking those people through a process and introducing them to a single point of contact who will act as your very own project manager. Now, think of all the things that you need to successfully operate a company. What might that be?
You need to have billing, back office, customer support.
Exactly.
A ton of stuff. Now, I might be the guy that just started a business because I dug ditches well, but then that turned into multiple facets, but I still love digging ditches. That's where, this whole solution really has a lot of benefits because I can still sit there, focus on my ditch digging, and all this other stuff will be taken care of in a very effective and efficient way. I like it.
It will. And we have direct oversight. We have a hierarchy. Yeah. We have the operations. We have the payroll. We have the HR. We have the team leaders. Right. And we have the team members. And we have different divisions. So we'll have, the creative arm where we can do video. We can do audio. We can do website. We can do and then we can go email marketing. We can do Facebook ads. We can do Google ads. We can do, you start looking at it that way. And you asked if this is something that's scalable. Oh my gosh. if you have a 6,000 person team and each one of your executives needs a personal assistant, we can do that. And what can that personal assistant do? It's limited. They can usually do one or two things, but as a liaison to an entire team that specializes in different verticals within the operations overall, you can say, oh, you know what, Scott, I want to add a page to my website and we want to be able to market this effectively over the next quarter. Oh, okay, great. Let me assemble the marketing lead here, the lead web developer, the graphic designer. Let's get your brand identity squared away for this specific campaign. And guess what? Here you go. Here's an entire plan, but you only talk to one person.
Yeah. See, that's, Jamie, we're going to have to take a break. Okay. We're talking industrial outsourcing solutions with CEO Jamie J with Bottleneck Virtual Assistants. And I'm thinking he's got some truth bombs that he's laying out on us. We got to think about that. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about 3 to 5 actionable items that it's pencil and paper time. So we're going to take a break, get your pencil and paper, and stick to the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line and that you could be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon and be safe out there. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. We are talking about industrial outsourcing with CEO Jamie J with Bottleneck Virtual Assistants. I'm enjoying this conversation, Jamie, a bunch. Now, let's get into some real tactical stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what, you know, these companies, these individuals can at least begin to think about and then begin to deploy if this is a strategy that is, you know, meaningful for them. I'm not going to speak for them. For me personally, it's meaningful. For them, maybe not so. But there's going to be some people out there. So give us a little about like 3 to 5 actionable items that we can sort of hang our hat on.
Sure. So a couple of things you need to figure out. Number one is whether or not you're ready to do something like this.
How?
How do you go about figuring out if this might be something worth exploring further? Number one is whatever it is that you're doing currently, are you working longer hours? Some simple stuff like that. Are you missing time with family? Are there communication challenges within your organization? Is there bickering? Right? Inner office politics, anything like that, that you find is escalating. Does that ever happen? Right?
You just nailed all the, everybody's shaking their head. Yeah. longer hours. Yeah. Time. I'm not having any time with family, you know?
Yeah.
Communication is, and I'm bickering. I'm always unhappy. Yeah. It happens all the time.
These are all signs that what you're doing is not running at an efficient level. And efficiency in business is everything. I don't care if you're climbing poles. I don't care if you're digging ditches. I don't care what it is that you're doing. If your business is growing, you need to focus on the things that really give you energy and toss everything out aside. And I can talk all day long about company culture. I even have a podcast about that, but that's for another day. But you have to figure out whether or not this is something it's even worthwhile exploring. And start by hitting some of those top questions there. There is a thing to really drill down on this, and it's a good exercise to go through. But for me, it's like nails on a chalkboard, However, once I completed this, I had so much more direct, not clarity yet, but direction. There's a big difference there. And this is called the delegation roadmap.
The delegation roadmap. Is it tedious?
It's very tedious. It's very tedious. I'm not going to lie to you. But this is one of those things where you can really, really just close the door to your office. If you're at home, take some time. Let your loved one know, hey, I've got an hour. I've got to just sit down and focus on this. Turn everything off or just have your Excel spreadsheet open and title it. Give it three different column titles. Number one is task. Number two is energy. And number three is delegate. On the first column for task, write down every single task you do in a given day or that you're responsible for. This is where it's tedious. For each task, assign one of the two values. Delegate. Is this something you must do or can you delegate it to somebody else who can do the job 80% as good as you or better? That's key. Because that sets your level of expectation. Nobody's ever going to do the work better than you, right? So that's why it's key to understand that. And then energy. Does this give you energy or does it completely drain you of energy? What's beautiful about this exercise is once you list out those tasks, you can now segment all of the tasks that you can delegate and that do not give you energy. You segment those into one general group, and then you can start pulling out the pieces. You're saying, wow, this is web, this is marketing, this is, you know, whatever. And you can start seeing all of the tasks that you can create roles and responsibilities for someone else other than you to take care of all of those things. Research is huge. We're doing an event, so I needed to get, the event banners and all that stuff made. I'm not doing that. My assistant is doing that. Writing blogs. We've written over 300 articles in the past year or so. I've never written one. I've never marketed one. I've never published one. None of that. Now, do I have oversight on that? Heck yeah. Do I approve? Yes, I want to approve those. Right. But it's a lot easier to spend 5 minutes skimming a blog than 2-3 hours researching it, linking it up, backlinks, publishing it, marketing it. Right?
Right, right.
So up with this delegation roadmap, that is a perfect way. And do it for your own organization. Even if you're not going to outsource, within your own organization,
right,
you can accomplish so much by being able to delegate effectively. And then the next step in that is create a job role and responsibility. And as a matter of fact, nobody in my company creates their own job role. Or I don't create the job roles and responsibilities. Everybody in my company creates their own job role.
And then, of course, you approve it. But before we move on, all right, we're talking the delegation roadmap, you listeners out there. Three columns: task, energy, delegate. And it seems tedious, but I think the key that keeps or sort of pulls that together is energy. And I don't think people think enough about it. Gosh, like if I'm writing, it takes a lot of energy. Do I really like it? Not really, but I'll do it. But the energy is pretty substantial when I do that. Now, what I want to make sure everybody understands is that, and I pose this question to you, Jamie, is that I don't know what the condition is. We talk about culture, and I think people have a sense of value and worth when they're just super duper busy. And it might not be a valuable tasks or whatever, but it's just, I am busy. Everybody out there, you ask them, how you doing? Busy. I'm so busy. And so I think culturally people are somewhat like, I want to be busy. I want to be so busy that you can't come back to me and say, Scott, you're not busy.
Yeah, they brag about, man, I did 80 hours of work last week.
Yes.
Why would you brag about that, first of all? But if you spend 80 hours, how about this? If you're spending 80 hours a week generating new business as opposed to generating new Excel spreadsheets, how much better off are you going to be at obtaining your goals, whatever those goals are?
Absolutely.
Whatever success means to you.
Absolutely.
Spend your time working on $500 an hour income rather than $20 an hour expenses.
And see, that's what's really interesting. I think you touched upon a great point, is that We've got to have some sort of an economic indicator in our head about the work that we are doing. Is it truly revenue expanding, or is it something that has just got to be done because it has to be done? And I find a lot of people do the thing that it just has to be done and forget about that whole economic indicator that's in your head that's saying, hey, if I do this, it's $500. And it's like and that's why outsourcing is such an interesting topic, because you can do that. You can say, here's my $20 an hour thing over here. Mm-hmm. And then I can focus on my strategic and revenue tactical work over here, which makes more sense.
Or focus on the things that you want, must do, you want to do, that give you energy. If you like digging ditches, go dig dishes and concentrate and have fun digging ditches. And you don't have to worry about the bookkeeping and whether that email went out and whether that thing over there is working and this, you know, flux capacitor is operating at maximum, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a huge, difference. It's a bit of a mind shift, but if you start by simply going through that delegation roadmap, that is your catalyst for moving forward and shifting that mindset.
And it's not that difficult. You only have three columns here, listeners. Delegation roadmap, number one, make it happen, task, energy, and delegate greater than or equal to 80% of what you can do. Once again, we've already made the comment about nobody's going to do it better than you. So don't go down that, even to go down that road. Okay. Give us the number two.
The number two is creating the job roles and responsibilities.
Now, you indicated that your team does it themselves. Is that what you recommend?
Yeah. So basically here's what happens. There's this big myth out there about, oh man, you have to work on your business. Don't work in your business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I totally disagree with that. Whoever came up with that, they need to go, I don't know, somewhere else. Because in my opinion, while you do want to get to work on your business, you have to work in your business to create the systems and processes the way you expect the business to run. Now, you started this business, you're managing in this business, you're doing whatever it is in this business, and you're doing it the way that you believe is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, there's always going to be people that know more. There's always going to be those people out there. However, being able to set expectations and getting out of your own head, getting out of your own way, is the main difference between getting to your success, whatever that means, versus playing in the weeds all day long. And so it's really important that you come up with the processes that you think is the best way for that business to run, so that when you do outsource to somebody else, this is my favorite mantra, do something as if it's the last time you're ever going to do it. Document, document, document. Document everything you do step by step. Does it take a little bit longer? Yes, it does. But guess what? I take 5 minutes to check my email versus a year and a half ago where it took me an hour every morning, because we've documented that process and now somebody else sorts through my email and gets that sorted for me. What could somebody else do for 55 minutes a day, free time, times 365 or whatever? Because I check my mail every day. So it's important to come up with those systems and processes. Now, once you have that and you establish the tasks, the systems, the processes, you can identify what kind of job role that is and what are the responsibilities in order to get that done. This does two things. Number one, it takes out any ambiguity. It's black and white. You do this, then you do this, then you do this. That's a system. That's a process. That's something that you can delegate to someone else. You can't delegate thinking. You can't delegate the actual digging the ditches or climbing the pole or bringing the lasher over from one side to the other. You can't delegate that. That's got to be you. But what you can delegate is the reporting, the bookkeeping, the planning, all of that stuff can be delegated. And once you do that, you've set the process, you've outlined the job roles and responsibilities, and you give it to somebody else who's going to focus on that. That's their zone of genius. That gives them energy. That's what they love doing. And guess what? They're going to improve that process. That's why I said earlier, these are living, breathing documents. Here's the important thing though. Yeah. Give them the latitude or the longitude to define their own basketball court. Mm-hmm. They can play and do whatever they want in this basketball court, because you've already approved that roles and responsibility. Now you step in if they happen to go out of bounds. Whoa, what happened there? Let's talk about this. Let's get the ball back in play. And then you go back to town. That does two things. Number one, it empowers your staff. Mm-hmm. Number two, it gives you the flexibility of not micromanaging, concentrating on the high level thinking, the thought, the, you know, the business growth and doing all of that. And while this person that you delegated this, you know, all these tasks to is thriving because they love designing a website. They love marketing. They love studying analytics. They love numbers. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Right. So let them focus on that. They feel empowered because there's no micromanaging and you're out there shaking hands with people, going to events, you know, building buildings, doing whatever it is that you love doing.
Huge. And I know some of the listeners out there, they're going to have those sweaty palms and they're going to say, that is a hill too steep to climb right now. And it's like, okay, so if you're going to eat that elephant one bite at a time, start with a process, start with a workflow, start with just something, find out, start with it, and then just continue to sort of make improvements. It's not that difficult. And I mean, when I used to do workflows and process mapping, I kept it real simple. Box here, go here. Is there a decision? Yes. Document. Boom, 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 boom. And then you get it sort of to where you want it, and then you can start to refine it. But you're absolutely spot on, Jamie, about the necessity to document, document, document. If you truly want to leave a legacy, an industrial legacy, that comes through the discipline of documenting.
And so, here's an easy way to document, if I can just say one thing.
Well,
hop on, get a screen recorder, hop on Zoom, record your screen, and just go through your process, your step-by-step.
Wow.
Bam, you've now documented that process, send it off. They'll write out the step-by-step. Your assistant can write out the step-by-step for that, but you've just documented the way you've just gotten what was in your head outside of your head, and you've put that off to someone else, so now they can document that for you.
Here's the big thing that's taking place. We call it the silver tsunami that's taking place in industry. A lot of people are retiring. A lot of that knowledge is walking through the door and out into the streets, and it's gone forever. And this is key and critical to being able to sort of document that knowledge before it leaves. Is it going to be 100%? No. But is it going to have some impact, positive impact? Get them out there. Absolutely.
So who is your rock star in your company? If you lost them today, where would you be?
Yeah. If they lost, that would be me.
Yeah. What happened? You know, seriously.
It's okay. So what we have is we've got the delegation roadmap. We've got processes, workflows, and then we've talking about job roles and responsibilities, creating those by the individuals who are going to be doing that. What next?
Well, then you talk about meetings. What's the best way to, because people are always concerned if they're all over the place across the world, how in the heck am I going to get things done? Well, you can, we have meetings twice a week. We have one meeting with the entire team. We have one meeting with the marketing team. And so if you put all of this together and you set agendas, the first part of the meeting is going to be for this and this and this on what's upcoming. The second part of the meeting is, okay, did we finish all this stuff? Just set an agenda. It can be 15 minutes. It can be 20 minutes. It doesn't need to take a long time, but make sure that you create those meetings. They're consistent. Maybe you have daily huddles. I know a lot of physicians, this is a popular term, use daily huddles, but a lot of companies, marketing agencies, they get together on a daily basis for 10 minutes and they just say, okay, this is what's on our plate for the day, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's do this, go forward. So I think meetings, setting a consistent meeting at a minimum weekly with your team to talk about things that are going to happen and talk about things that have happened or have not happened that they committed to, because you have accountability. You meet with your team on Zoom or whatever it is that you use. And
big fan of Zoom.
Voila, it just keeps going. And that's how you manage your outsourcing.
Okay, we're running out of time. I've got a couple more questions to ask you that before we depart. When is it a good time to hire a virtual assistant?
As soon as you have your delegation roadmap and a good idea of what your systems and processes are that are documented. Now, can you go out and hire if you have a campaign or a project coming up? Sure, most definitely. But you have to be clear on what you're delegating. You can hire the most intelligent person in the entire world, but if you don't have a clear idea of the direction, no clarity yet, the direction that you want to move in, the best person in the world could be a
You're setting them up for failure.
Exactly.
And you don't want that. And then you'll have a bad taste and you don't recognize the fact that you were the cause of the problem because you didn't put forth the effort to try to properly document, process, delegation, and all of that stuff. You're just going to have to do it.
But here's the beautiful thing. Once that's done, and pick one thing, like you said, pick one little area and just outsource that one little area, build the trust, get the relationship going. Yes. And then once you have that down, delegate more responsibility, give more responsibility to them and build it up. And pretty soon.
Yeah. Your point that it's a growing, breathing, expanding document and it makes complete sense. And you have that understanding of what they're going to do. And then you can say here, you know, you can have that conversation. You don't have to conquer the world all at once. Start just ever so slightly. Okay, Jamie, are you active out there?
Am I active?
Yeah, like you know, your LinkedIn, Facebook, your Twitter. By the way, I'll have it all in the show notes. So you industrial people, you don't have to go too far. Just go to industrialtalk.com. Find the interview and there's all his contact information. Reach out to this gent because he is very active. He knows what he's talking about, and I guarantee you he could probably reduce a lot of your pain. In fact, I'm so confident that I'm betting on that he'll remove some of your pain. So, you know, get in contact with the gentleman. Hey, parting shot. Give me something that will motivate the listeners to say, yeah, I like that. What do you got?
I think I already gave it. Do something is the last time you're ever going to do it. But I want to say that again because I think that is so important. Do something. The next time you do something that's a repetitive task, record it and document it. And you don't even have to think about hiring somebody, but just know that you can build up your library of documented processes. So, and eventually over time, you'll be set.
And that's powerful wisdom right there. You're absolutely right. The tools are out there, you listeners. The tools are out there and it doesn't require much. Now you're going to say, I don't like looking or listening to myself. Well, get over that because there's no other way you're going to do it. And hey, Jamie, Jay, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. You were awesome.
Thank you, Scott. You're the man.
Oh, heavens, gosh. That's exciting. Now my heart's all palpitating going, oh man, outsourcing. I love this stuff. That's a great solution for a lot of people. Hey, thank you very much. And you listeners, we're going to close it in on the other side. We're going to talk a little bit more how to get a hold of Jamie J. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hi there, Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk, and I have some questions to ask you. Do you want to create more digital attention? Do you want to sell more and create more opportunities? Do you want to connect with your target market? Now, if you said yes to any of those questions, then the Industrial Talk podcast platform is for you. We can get you up and running in a matter of hours with a branded podcast specific to you and your company. All you need to do is just reach out, click the link below. Let's have a conversation and let's see how we can help you get into the podcast business and be able to create those opportunities through the power of podcasting. I look forward to talking to you and have a great day. All right. Thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. That was Jamie J, CEO of Bottleneck Virtual Assistant, and he is active out there on all of the social platforms, and everything will be in the show notes on how to get a hold of Jamie J. You need to. Still drinking my coffee, still amped up, still very excited about the interview. Okay, you know this platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies, the people that get things done in industry. And we're all about your focus, all about everything that we can do to be able to provide content that is helpful to you. Go out to industrialtalk.com, find out more. And you know what? If you want to be on the podcast, you need to contact me. Go out to industrialtalk.com. I'll respond. Trust me, I will. And if you want to be a part of the Industrial Academy, you can do that too. It's all out there. We are having a good time. I am so proud to be a part of the industrial community, and so should you. You're changing the world. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. And as always,
Be safe. Thank you very much. Talk to you later.